Praise God, praise God. Boy, if we're having a contest today and filling up areas, this side over here would be winning the contest. I don't know. Amen. So y'all keep on doing it, and y'all get better, y'all get better, and where's everybody? I'm kidding. Amen. It's good to see all of you. We are just happy in the Lord today. So God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Those of you that are already seated, you can stay seated. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We welcome everyone here today that is here. And most of all, we welcome the presence of the Lord. Amen. I am glad to be in the house of God, the presence of the Lord. Wonderful things. God has just been so rich and working with us so strong in these past weeks and months. Had some preacher contact me and said, "Pastor, I've been watching your preaching for the last month or so," and said, "Man, you've been on fire." And I said, "Well, the Lord's got us on fire. These are the last days, and I want to get ready. I want to make sure I'm ready. I want to make sure I can help everybody that wants to be ready, be ready." Amen. We want to have end time revival, right? Praise God. Praise God. That's what I'm about. We welcome our guests that are here today. Hey, been good to see Brother Dave and Sister Colleen visiting with us. We always love and appreciate them being here. Amen. And good to have Jose and I believe it's Kim, his wife, with us today. And God bless them. They've been here before. They're from the great state of Ohio and visiting with us. And so we're glad they're here. And others that are here, I didn't get a card on you. Don't know how to recognize you, but we see you, and we're glad you're here. And get to know us. Get to come introduce yourself to the pastor, and we'll make you feel welcome any way we can. Amen. If you like good preaching, if you like the Word of God, if you like truth, amen, you're in the right place, because this is where we preach the truth of the Word of God. Amen. And so thank you for being here today, and let's continue to worship the Lord. I'm going to take a break today, and I'm going to let Brother Chris come and preach for us. Amen. So he hasn't been to the pulpit much in the last little while, long time. So you have to kind of bear with him. He might, you know, forget how to read the Bible or something, you know. Of course, I'm kidding. We appreciate Brother Chris and appreciate his ministry. So please welcome him today. Those of you here, those of you that are watching on live stream, those of you that might be listening, and hear the word of the Lord today, okay? God bless you. Brother Chris, come minister to us.
Amen. Let's give that to the Lord this morning. Bishop said it already, but surely the presence of the Lord is in this place today. Would you lift your hands and let's just entertain his presence right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, somebody make him feel welcome in this place right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. We glorify you in this place today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, that's it. Hallelujah. If you have the ability, lift your hands right now. If you've got a voice and if you've got breath in your lungs, would you just let out a shout of praise unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Promise to do my best not to be long today. As Pastor mentioned, it's been a while since I've been behind the pulpit. Amen. But I guess it's like riding a bike, right? Once you learn it, amen. But with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to speak to somebody today. Those of you who are online, those of you who are calling in, I want to speak to you as well. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 15. I'm sorry, chapter 5 and verse 15. See, I'm already starting. Amen. Chapter 5 and verse 15 down through 16. Amen. 15 through 16. Amen. I want to give honor to my pastor this morning. Amen. I was getting ready, and while getting ready in the bathroom, the Lord spoke to me, and he just reminded me, you know, you have to give honor where honor is due. Amen. And really what it was, you know, I was just thinking about the fact that I had to preach today. And I'm thinking, I don't have the pedigree. I don't have the background. I didn't go to Bible college. My daddy wasn't a preacher. Amen. My mom wasn't a preacher. I don't come from a family of preachers like that. I only had one family member that was a preacher. Well, my grandmother. Amen. That was really close to me. So I don't come from a family of preachers. And so it just hit me, you know, here's a man that took a chance on some wet behind the ear young preacher that just moved from New York. He doesn't know anything about me, but he took a chance. Amen. And so I just want to give honor unto Pastor Jones this morning, my pastor, your pastor, our pastor. Amen. Amen. Give him one more hand clap this morning. Amen. I honor you this morning, Pastor Jones. And we also, one more time, want to highlight Sister Jones. Amen. Celebrating her 21st birthday. Amen. Amen. We give honor unto you, First Lady. We love you dearly. Amen. Hallelujah. How many ready for the word of the Lord today? Again, I'll do my best not to be long this morning, but I do want to speak to you what the Lord, I believe the Lord has given me. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 16. And when you have it, would you say amen? Amen. Let's read that together. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Amen. Let's read verse 16 again. It says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Amen. Pastor, I'm going to ask you to pray one more time before we...
Father, we ask you, Lord, to once again come to us, Lord, through your word. God, we know that these words written by human hands, guided by the Holy Spirit, are infallible, and they're right for us. And Lord, they're being spoken today, as they always are from pulpits, by fallible men, by men that are human, that are have carnal natures. And we ask you, God, to put your anointing upon this preacher today. Lord, that you would give him wisdom beyond his years to say what the Holy Ghost wants to say today, God. We ask you, Lord, to prepare our hearts and our ears and our minds and our lives to listen and to hear your word today, God. And we will give you the glory for it. We will give you the praise for honoring our life and blessing our life. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. One more time before you're seated, would you just clap your hands, open your mouth, and just thank the Lord that you can be in his house today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, somebody just bless him right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. I want to talk to you about redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Amen. Turn to somebody. Don't get too close to their face. Turn to them and tell them, redeeming the time. Amen. Paul is writing here under house arrest. And somehow he recognizes the looming weight of mortality and the limiting pressure of life's inevitable restraints. The days are malicious. They are wicked. They're tyrants. They are, in a word, as Paul puts it, evil. And as a result, he makes the admonition to those people at Ephesus, the Ephesians, to redeem the time. And as I studied this passage of scripture, the first question that came to mind was simply this: what does it mean to redeem the time? I feel the need to say this because some of you are sitting there, and I just feel it in the Holy Ghost. You're looking to be sermonized today, but I don't have a sermon for you this morning. I have a message from the Lord for this day and this hour. To redeem something means to buy it back. It means to regain possession of it. And when I think about that word redeem, I think about how the Lord redeemed us. Come on, hallelujah. There's an old song that used to say, "I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life." If anybody asks you who I am, just tell them, Brother Richard, that I am redeemed. Are you thankful for redemption this morning? Are you thankful that the Lord went all the way to Calvary for you? Amen. When I think of redeem, I think about being brought out of sin. Amen. Gone, it can never be regained. There's no turning back the hands of time. There's no flipping back through the pages of past chapters of our lives. Amen. There's no going back and redoing the wrongs this morning. And so therefore, to say that Paul was telling us to go back into the past and to fix things and to redeem some things that have been lost in time would be a wrong deduction from this chapter. But really what Paul was saying to the believers at Ephesus was that moving forward from this moment here on, you need to make the best use of your time. Whatever they were allotted by God, they needed to make it count. The ESV version says, make the best use of your time. The NIV version says, make the most out of every opportunity. What Paul was saying here goes far beyond the idea of making up for lost time or trying to play catch up. It's more than someone doing 65 miles per hour in a 35 mile per hour zone because they're running behind on schedule and they're trying to make up for time. It's more than that. It's more than me skipping breakfast because I'm running behind on time or I'm running behind on schedule. So I woke up and said, you know what? I'm just going to skip breakfast today because I need to make up for lost time. It goes far beyond that this morning. Paul's admonition has a far more weightier meaning with significant consequences this morning. For what we do with our time will determine how we spend our eternity. I'll say it again. What you do with your time will determine how you spend your eternity. We need to make the most out of every second we've been given. It is important that the admonition given to the first century church in this passage of scripture be heeded by us today. Why, Paul? Why are we to redeem the time? He says it right there in verse 16, because the days are evil. Firstly, Paul tells them to redeem the time because of this reason. The word evil speaks of having bad qualities of natural kind, producing pain or distress, loss or calamity. It also speaks of having bad qualities of moral kind, wicked, corrupt, perverse, wrong, violating rules of conduct prescribed by God. You guys took away my monitors. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. There's not another word, I believe, that is more fitting to describe our world today. There is not another word, I believe, that is more fitting to describe the society in which we live today. There are also evils that are called civil evils, which affect injuriously the peace or prosperity of a city or state, and political evils which injure a nation and its public capacity. If you're not ignorant to what's been happening in our world, you can tell that we've got political leaders this morning, amen, that have evil agendas and intentions. It's okay to keep the liquor store open, but close the church. We are living in an evil day. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul in chapter 3 speaks on evil days to come, and I believe that they are here this morning. This know also that in the last days, perilous times, evil times, wicked times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. We see it all around us today. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fears, despisers of those that are good. I didn't realize how much the world hated the church until now. While we're here trying to live for God, while we're here just simply trying to serve God and do the best we can, they want to silence us. They want to close our doors. They don't want us preaching. They don't want us worshiping. They don't want us living a holy lifestyle. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Bible says, from such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Turn away from such. Turn away. Turn away from such. Somebody needs to make up in their mind today that they're going to turn away from sin. You're going to turn away from everything that is anti-Jesus, that is anti-the church, that is anti-the word of God. We've got to turn away today. We've got to make up in our minds. We've got to settle it. We've got to make a decision. We've got to draw the line in the sand. We've got to decide whose side we're standing on. I'm standing on the Lord's side. I'm standing for holiness. I'm standing for righteousness. I'm standing for truth. Told you I didn't come to make you feel good this morning. I came to challenge you because, like Paul says it, the days are evil. They're evil days. Matthew 24 verses 4 through 12 describes the time in which we live in very well. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrow. Wait a minute, Jesus, you mean to tell me it's only about to get worse from here? Just when we thought it was getting bad, Jesus says, it's about to get far worse than this. All this is just the beginning of sorrows. He shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. This right here could have just been a newspaper headline for today. All you need to plaster on it is just some newspaper company in today's date, because this describes the time in which we live in right now. I don't know if you want to believe it or not this morning, but we are indeed living in the last days. A time when building holy and righteous character is becoming far more difficult. The present evil of this hour presents us with many paths of wrongdoing and wrong thinking, and that can cause us to lose focus on God's way of life if we are not careful. If we allow to just pass us by, if we live each day without purpose, if we allow ourselves to squander our days on meaningless things, if we're not making the best use of our time, if we're not redeeming the time, it's possible for the evil that surrounds us today to consume us. The days are evil. Not only are they evil, but they're short. Life is short. James 14 and 13, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such city and spend a year and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas, do you not know what will happen tomorrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. David puts it this way in Psalm 39 and 4. Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days. What it is that I might know how frail I am. Contrary to popular belief, you're not as invincible as you think you are. And if there was anything that made me realize it, is this virus that's being promoted and going around. And I know it's real. I know it's there. I know people who have lost loved ones. But it's helping me to realize just how frail we are. Walk around, we act like we got it all together, Mr. and Mrs. Big Shot. And here comes a virus. Everybody is running into hiding. Everybody is, I've never seen so many masks in my life. I'm not condoning this, so please don't leave here and go do it. But if you wanted to commit a crime, now would be the time. Because everybody's wearing a mask. And you'd get away with it. I've never seen so many masks in my life. It's like life is just a masquerade party right now. Everybody has a mask on. But it's helped me to realize that we're frail. We're frail. In any moment, our life could end just like that. In any moment. We've got to recognize the brevity of life. We've got to realize the evil of the hour if we're ever going to redeem the time. When I was younger, one of my favorite things that I would always say is, I have all the time in the world. Remember my youth pastor and my pastor and, you know, being in the youth group, and they would preach and talk about living for God as a young person and being sold out to God and giving your life to God. And my excuse was always, I have all the time in the world. When I was like 16, my excuse would be, when I get to 18, then I'll start living for God. And when I got to 18, then my excuse was, when I get to 21, I'll start living for God. But after a while, I realized that in fact, I didn't have all the time in the world. Time was just passing me by, and I was missing out on the things of God and what God wanted to do in my life. Can I tell somebody today, be careful not to make the mistake to think that you've got all the time in the world and you can just put off the things of God for when you feel like it or when it's convenient for you. I know I wouldn't get much applause, and that's not what I was looking for. I've come here to help somebody today to recognize that it's time for us to stand up and make the best use of every second that we've been given. When we are oblivious to the importance of how we use our time and how the use of our time affects our eternity, we become experts in the trivial and novices in the things that are most significant. What I've come to understand this morning is that when we're oblivious to time, then what should be top priority is no longer top priority. What should be important to us is no longer important to us. I tell somebody this morning, the things of God ought to be top priority in your life. Matthew 6 and 33 this morning says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let me talk to you for a little bit. Prior to this statement, Jesus speaks to his listeners about a few things. He's talking to them about giving to the needy. He then goes on to speak about prayer, and that's where we get the Lord's Prayer. It's in this very same chapter. He goes on to talk to them about fasting, and after fasting, he talks about laying up treasures in heaven. I could stay there for a little bit, but because of time. And he talks to them about laying up treasures in heaven. And then he moves on to telling them Don't be anxious for anything. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink, or your body, or what you're going to put on. And then he goes on to ask them, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Another translation says, which of you by worrying can add a single hour to your lifespan? Worrying is a waste of time. Well, I wonder if this virus is ever going to leave. Well, I wonder if I can leave my house. I wonder if the economy is ever going to get better. I wonder this, I wonder that. And you begin worrying, and God says, which of you by worrying can make anything better, can fix the situation? Don't worry about the virus, because you serve a God that is greater than any disease or virus. So he says, you're wasting your time when you worry about these things. Get your mind on things above and not things that are here in this temporary life. Come on, your hope is not in this world. The word of God says, if only in this life we had hope, we would be men most miserable. But I'm thankful. My hope is in a world to come. It's in the... I need somebody to get this today. Don't waste your time worrying about tomorrow. Don't waste your time worrying. When was the last time that you actually just fell on your knees and prayed to God because of who he was and not because you were saying, God, I'm worried about this virus, and can you do this about the virus, and this, that, and that about the virus? And God says, would you just put your attention on me, for me? Would you pray to me, for me? Worried about a virus, Sister Barrett, and I stole this from the bishop, and I'm not afraid to say it. It wasn't in my notes. But you're worried about a virus, and you can get hit by a truck and die. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about what is going to happen next. Let God have his way in your life. Worrying, you can't add a single moment to your life. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. You walk through the house of the Lord, and instead of worshiping, you're worrying. You walk through the house of the Lord, and instead of getting your mind on the teaching and the preaching, you're worried about, when we leave here, I need to make sure I wash my hands. And that's all good and gravy. You need to practice good hygiene. But can I tell you, when you're in the house of the Lord, all that matters is the Lord. You could be in the house of the Lord, Bishop, and waste your time. You've been pastoring for 30-something years. I'm sure you've seen it. You see people go through things that you just preached about. You see people go through issues in life that you taught about, and you're thinking, well, where were you when I was teaching this? Trying to help somebody today. I'm trying to help somebody today. Don't waste away your days. Don't waste away the moments. Can I tell you, it's not the time to play church. It's not the time to play patty cake church. You've got to make up in your mind. You've got to be sold out. You've got to make a decision. You've got to make a choice. For Christ I live, and for him I die. You've got to make a choice. When I make my plans, the things of God are going to be at the forefront. When I make my schedules, the things of God are going to be number one on the list. You know, at the beginning of the year, we make these lists. You may be seated. We make these lists. We make our plans. We set our goals. But how many of those goals have to do with your spiritual life? How many of those plans have to do, hallelujah, with your walk with God? How many of those plans? It's quite interesting to me, Bishop. We make a grocery list when we're going to the grocery store because we don't want to forget something. Or if we're going fishing, we make a list and we need to make sure that we have this and we have that, and then all the different things that we're doing as it relates to the natural man. But when it comes to the spiritual life, how many of us can truly say, I've got a list? You know what? I'm going to start the first hour of my day by praying, and then the next hour, hallelujah, the devil don't want me to preach, but I don't care, because I'm trying to help somebody today. The things of God have got to take top priority in your life. Come on, somebody. I want to get married. Well, I want God more than I want a marriage. I want to own a business, but I want God more than I want to own a business. Come on, somebody. I know you've got a plan to buy a house this year. But can I tell you, your relationship with God means more than acquiring something material. Come on, it's going to. Marriage won't get you into heaven. A car won't get you into heaven. A degree won't get you into heaven. And I'm not preaching against it. But if it's taking priority over the things of God, you might want to reevaluate that list. You might want to reevaluate your plans and make sure it lines up with the things of God this morning. So how do we redeem the time? Number one, Paul tells us in verse 15. Actually, I should have read 14, because he says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Can I tell you, there's too many saints that are asleep in this hour. Hallelujah. Come on, there are too many of us that are complacent, too many of us that are comfortable. We've fallen asleep to the lullabies of the world. Come on, somebody. We've allowed the world to read us these little cute bedtime stories that are making us drowsy in the spirit. But I've come to tell somebody this morning, it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to be alert. It's time. Romans 13 and 11, and knowing the time, understanding the hour in which we live, that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believe. I can't tell you when Jesus is going to rapture up the church. I can't tell you the day or hour, but what I can tell you is that one of these days, Jesus is coming back. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, he says, I'm going to come back to receive you so that you can be where I am. Too comfortable in this world. Too many of us have made our home here on earth. We've set up shop. Because this is where we plan on being for the rest of our lives. Lord, you know, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me towards heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home. Do you mean that as you sing it this morning? The Bible says that Moses, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin in this life for a moment. Moses understood that this is not all there is to life. He understood that he was just a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth, and that this was not his final destination. I tell you, it's time for us to wake up out of sleep this morning. Although sleep is it's a natural and physical process, Scripture also uses sleep as a spiritual symbol of death and a negative symbol of laziness. It's a symbol of death or spiritual laziness. I just don't feel like going to church, Brother Richard. I just don't feel like worshiping. I just don't feel like reading my Bible. I just don't feel like fasting. I would say we just need to go ahead and bury you, but that wouldn't be right of me to say. But it's one or two things. You're probably spiritually dead or spiritually lazy. Let me just tell you this morning, spiritual sleep is a danger to your eternal soul. Well, Brother Chris, you just don't understand. I'm tired. With everything that's been going on in the world, Brother Chris, I'm just so tired and I'm weary. And I just want to rest and I just want to go in my little spiritual cot and just lay down and drink lemonade and dip my toes in the pool of life and just be comfortable. I'm just so tired. You just don't understand. You know, as I thought about this, the Lord reminded me, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, Brother Chris, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. When you go to a restaurant and you get a waiter, do you know what your waiter is doing? He is waiting on you. And so while I am waiting in terms of time for God to do what he says he's going to do, I'm also waiting on God by certain. I need you to follow me today. Waiting is not just being able to say, you know what, I'm waiting. It's more than time, Bishop. It's your attitude while you wait What are you doing until God moves? What are you doing until God comes back? Pastor, I'm not just going to stand here and hold the fort, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to keep busy in the kingdom of God. I'm going to keep serving. I'm going to keep witnessing. I'm going to keep fasting. I'm going to keep What are you doing while you wait? It's time for us to wake up and begin waiting on the Lord, because it's in serving that God will renew your strength. If you're tired, it's because you're not doing anything. I don't know about you, but have you ever slept longer than you needed to sleep, and then you wake up and you feel more tired than when you actually went to sleep? It's the same thing in the spirit. Some of you have been asleep for so long. You're suffering from spiritual grogginess. It's time for us to get busy. Time for us to get to work. We need to pray more than we've ever prayed. We need to fast more than we've ever fasted. We need to evangelize and witness more than we ever have in this hour. Luke 9:32, but Peter and they that were with him, Jesus, were very heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and two men that stood by him. The disciples fell asleep just before the greatest manifestation of God's glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. But because of sleep, they almost missed it. They were tired from that long climb up the mountain with Jesus. Some of you have been on this journey for a long time. My study Bible has a note from the late Elder Brigham, and I miss him so much. But if he were here today, he would tell you, I wouldn't trade this for the world. I wouldn't go back and do it. I'll do it all over again for God. He came up in a conversation with a preacher friend of mine, Brother Jackson. And the last time Brother Jackson was here, he said that Elder Brigham told him, I'd like to go start another work. I believe he was mid-80s. And he was thinking about going to start another church. You've been on this journey for a time, I get it. But if we're not careful, we can climb the mountain for many years and then fall asleep just before it matters most. Can you imagine serving God for all those years, only to miss out on the rapture? Only to miss out on heaven? We got to be careful. The antidote of our spiritual drowsiness this morning is to wait upon the Lord. We've got to make every moment count. It's in redeeming the time. It's making every opportunity that we're given count towards heaven. He then goes on to say, see then that you walk circumspectly. We've got to be awake, and then we've got to start walking, but not just walking, but our walk has to be circumspectly. The verb walk is in its literal sense of going along or moving about on foot at a moderate pace. It's found numerous times in the Gospels. However, this same verb is more often used throughout the Old Testament and the epistles of the New Testament in a metaphorical way. In this sense, it means to follow a certain course of life or to conduct oneself in a certain way. It means to be accurate. It means to be consistent. It means, hallelujah, that I've got to be consistent in my conduct as a Christian. If I proclaim to be a child of God, then my walk, my conduct, my living needs to. You want something to make you feel good. I didn't bring you that today. I want to help you get to heaven. I want to help you make the most out of time. I want to help you. redeem the time, Bishop. We've got to be consistent. We can't be one thing on Sunday and another thing on Monday. We can't be one thing around the saints and another thing around our worldly friends. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. The world has a saying. They'll tell you, keep the same energy. We've got to keep the same energy. Who I am on Sunday needs to be who I am on Monday. Who I am in the sanctuary needs to be who I am outside the sanctuary. Can't amen with the bishop on Sunday when he preaches against sin, but then jump on Facebook and like a post that's not godly. My conduct, my way of living must be consistent with what I profess. Somebody's reading their Bible. What I like, what I retweet, what I repost, what I share, the jokes I laugh at, it's got to align with what I'm professing on Sunday mornings. I'm not going to get through this today. We got to be careful that we don't become hypocrites. And it's my prayer every day, God, help me to practice what I preach. Help me to live this thing, not just in public, but in private. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In your sight, pastor might not see, the saints might not see, but God, I know you see all things and you know all things. Think God is just taking you on some walk just to take you on a walk. You're not just exercising your limbs, your legs. It's more than that. It's about your life. It's about your conduct. It's about the way you carry yourself. It's about the way you talk. It's about the things we listen to. It's about the things we entertain. Walk accurately. Walk consistently. Walk cautiously. Hallelujah. I don't want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I want to sit in the seat of the scornful. Be careful about how I live my life. If I need to sever some things, I'll sever it. I saw such an interesting story the other day about a COVID patient, and the doctors came to the wife and they said, listen, you're going to have to sever, I think it was his leg. He said, you know, if he's going to survive this thing, then you need to sever his leg. And the headline said something along the lines of, it was a life or death situation. He can go on through life without a leg, or he can keep the leg and no longer go through life. Brother Richard, if your right eye offends you, I don't care what it is. I don't care who it is. If it's keeping me from having a relationship with God, if it's keeping me from being consistent with what's being preached by the man of God, I'm going to cut it out of my life because it's a life or death situation. She said, I would rather my husband have one leg than him not live at all. He's going to live without that leg. He's going to have another chance at life. Might not have a leg, but you have life. You might lose some friends, but at least you have your soul. I know that was your bestie. I know that was your best friend. I know you thought that y'all were going to get married. I know you thought, hallelujah, that job was the thing that was going to press you into buying all the things that you wanted to buy. But if it's going to cost you your soul, sever it. Cut it off. Come out from among them. And be separate, say the Lord. Goes on to say, not as fools, but as wise. If we're going to redeem the time, we cannot be fools. We've got to be wise about it. The Bible says the foolish man has said in his heart that there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. They live as if there's no God. They live lawless. They don't go by the scriptures. They do things their way. They just live however they feel like living. We've got to be careful that we're not just going through life however we feel like going through life, doing whatever we feel like doing or not doing. If it's in the word of God, then we need to abide by it. If it's in the word of the God, then we need to obey it. If we're going to redeem the time. Titus tells us we were once fools. We were once fools. We were disobedient to what? The teachings of the Bible. We were disobedient to the laws of God. We were led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. Watch this. Passing our days. Allowing time to go by in malice and envy. Just wasting away your time. Hated by others and hating one another. Passing our days. Wasting our time. Only fools allow time to just pass them by. Every time I think about that word fool, I think of Matthew 25. And it says, at the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. It's not really my focus, but you need to make sure that there's oil in your lamp. You know, Pastor, when I was younger and I lived in New York, my mom always had a tendency, even now she'll still do it. She had a tendency every time before we went somewhere, she would say, go check the oil levels. Go check the oil levels. I'm like, Mom, I'm just trying to get to where we're going. Let's just jump in the car, Brother James, and go. Let's just go, especially if it was shopping. I just wanted to go shop. I just wanted to get to the store. Why are we stopping to check the oil? Why are we stopping to make sure there's oil in the vehicle? Until one day I was riding around with a pastor. And we were traveling from Brooklyn to the Bronx, which is probably from Orlando to, I'd say, maybe Groveland. And the car just kept, it just kept juking. You know, it would do a little buck shuffle, would just stop and go and stop and go. And the pastor's like, man, I don't know what's going on in my car. And so somehow, I don't know how it got us there. It was a miracle or something. Well, we pulled over into a mechanic shop. The mechanic opens up the hood and everything. You know, your battery's fine. This is fine. Everything's good. Your levels look good. I said, wait a minute. Let me just check your oil levels. He looked at me and said, man, what was the last time you put some oil in this thing? reservoir is dry. And he did like this, and there was dust in there, dust. And then it hit me why mom kept checking the oil levels, Pastor. Because if you're going to get to where you're trying to go, there's got to be oil in. We all want to go to heaven. We all want to get there. But you've got to make sure that you've got oil. You've got to stop ever so often and check the oil levels. You've got to check your gauges. There's no heaven without the oil. Ever so often, you've got to stop and check the oil levels. But it gets a little deeper than this. Because they did take oil. They did. So what was it that really made them foolish? The wise ones, however, they took oils and jars along with them. Because they understood this oil can burn out. And if it burns out, whenever the bridegroom returns, I'm going to need oil to see so I can go. And if I need to go buy oil, it won't be enough time. And I might miss my opportunity. And so the foolish virgins, they were foolish because they didn't understand the concept of time. We have all the time in the world. And if my oil just, and even if my oil runs out, I can run down the street and go buy it. Pastor, you said this on last Sunday. When you miss the rapture, you miss the rapture. That's it. There's no second chances. You could come to the church house to find us, but I won't be here. I don't know about you. You could come looking for a preacher or the pastor, but they won't be here. When you miss that opportunity, you miss the opportunity. And so we've got to make the most out of every moment that we get to make sure that we are prepared. Wise people are prepared. Wise Christians are prepared for the coming of the Lord. The flash of a moment in the twinkling of an eye. I don't know about you. Ain't much you can do in a blink. Ain't much that you can do in a flash. But you've got all the time in the world right now. Make it count. Redeem it. Do what you need to do. Because in any moment, God can put in his appearance. Matthew 24 and 36, stand with me. I've got more, but stand with me. But concerning that day and that hour, no one knows, even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Matthew 24 and 44, therefore you must also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Luke 21, verses 4 through 36, but watch yourselves lest your heart be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, which some of us, if we're honest enough, we are right now. We're weighed down by the cares of this life. And that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. Won't have any time to fix it. Won't have any time to get it right. Who will come upon you, on all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place. I'll tell you something that the devil knows, that we somehow seem to overlook, Bishop, and we somehow seem to neglect. The devil knows he's running out of time, while the church thinks we have all the time in the world. He knows he's running out of time. He knows his days are numbered. And That's why he's working so hard to distract us. That's why he's working so hard to trip us up. That's why he's working so hard. Whoever it is that he can drag down with him, he's going to drag him down. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Because he knows his days are numbered. Oh, we need to make best use of our time. If you're honest enough with yourself today, and I'm just going to end right here. If you're honest with yourself, and I don't want you to, this isn't about anybody else, but this is about you. This is about your salvation. This is about your soul. But if you're honest enough, and I know I had to get real with myself, and that's probably why I didn't get to preach this last week. I know Pastor preached, but I just feel like God was still trying to drive this in me. Because I've allowed moments, I've allowed hours to go by, Pastor. Isn't it interesting? We can sit there and we can watch a basketball game and we get excited when it goes into overtime. But oh God, let the preacher say, can I have 5 more minutes? We can sit there. We can binge watch a TV show. How many Netflix subscribers we have? I know I have Netflix, and I, you know what? I told God I want to be a real preacher, so I can stand here. You can judge me if you want, but I'm being honest. I've binge watched shows upon shows, and the Lord convicted me and said, "What could have you been doing with that time? What did any of those TV shows do for your soul? How did it impact your eternity?" And I've had to fall on my face and say, God, forgive me for wasting time. This hour right now, this moment that we're in, it's a pivotal moment in all our lives because God is watching to see your response to a message about time. How will you live your life from here on out? How will you spend your days? I'm not telling you that you can't take a moment to breathe or to enjoy life. But if your life and your time is spent more on things that have nothing to do with God, has nothing to do with your salvation, if you're here today and you're saying to yourself, you know what, I need to restructure some things, need to rearrange some things. There's some things in my life that are kind of out of order. Lord, I'm guilty of it. I haven't been making the best use of the time that I've been allotted. Some of us, we've been home for weeks. Before it was, Pastor, I just don't have enough time. By the time I leave work, I got to do this. I got to pick up the kids, and then I got to make dinner, and then after I make dinner, a lot of us have been home. God is watching you to see, what are you doing with your time? If that's you this morning, if you want to be wise with your time, if you want to redeem the time, if you want to make the most of the time, as a matter of fact, I'll just say this, but the proper response today would be to come down to this altar and cry out to God and ask him, forgive me for wasting my time. Lord, help me. Help me to make better use of my time. What can I start doing? If that's you this morning, this altar is open. For those of you who've you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you've never experienced Bible, biblical salvation and what it's about, being baptized in Jesus' name, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, can I tell you that now is the time? Right now, you can make good use of this moment. The Bible says that now is a day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You can receive salvation today if you like. Let's lift our hands right now unto the Lord. Those of you who are watching online, listening on the conference call, would you lift your hands right where you are? We've all at some point